Welcome to the Thursday night broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Thank you, Lord. Your love is amazing, and it is steady and unchanging, and it is a firm mountain underneath our feet. And we praise you for that, and thank you for doing the impossible, making a way where there was no way, Lord. We can't do it on our own, but in you we can stand and have a mighty hope. May we learn to continually stand in that hope. May your word go forth. May we be blessed and receive your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening, guys. I was recently talking to someone about my place within the body. We're all called to be ministers. And stepping out in that can sometimes be scary. But typically it's only scary when we're standing in pride, whether it be the pride of, well, what if I screw up? Or, oh my goodness, I know I'm going to screw up. Or the flip side of that of thinking we're too well put together to need the grace and the mercy, so then we can't minister that either. So it brought me to Ephesians 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So, to be able to minister the grace and mercy of the Lord, I have to believe it, and I have to accept it, and walk in it. So, am I doing that? Are you doing that? Are you walking in the grace of the Lord and ministering the grace of the Lord? Are you walking in yourself and ministering yourself? That's it.
Everyone. So, over the course of the last week, maybe two, I have felt that the battle's on. Have you felt that, Paul? It's that time of year, and we always talk about going to conference, and, well, I'm leaving in a couple weeks. But right before that is a time to exercise your spiritual muscles and see where you fall short and where you need to work. And it never fails. I mean, everyone talks about each year that they've gone to conference and how they got this sickness or that sickness or that sort of thing. And that's just, part of it's natural, part of it's spiritual. It's time to stand. I knew it was coming before I got here. And you have to stand in it. And you have to stand strong. And I'm tired. It has been quite a week of standing. And that brings me to my first verse, which would be Isaiah 40. We'll start in 28. I really like that part. But, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Ever since Davies been preaching from the chapel there in Texas, which started the week after I got there, he's been talking about love one another. That's what we're called to do. Love God, love one another. And I was thinking about that today in a different sense. What does that mean? To love one another, love God. To love God, Jesus tells you exactly what it means. If you love me, do as I say. That's how we show him that we love him. For a child, that means obeying their parents. For a wife, it means submitting to their husband. For the husband, that means submitting to their authority, submitting to the Lord. We've gone over this. I've heard it so many times. But loving God means obeying him, doing as he says. It's that simple. It's not. It's very simple to say, but it's hard to do in reality. It's not the easiest thing to do. Love one another. It doesn't always mean to show kindness or that philios love. It's agape. It's the love of truth. It's being honest with one another. It's when you see that your brother or sister has fallen off the path, you push them back on. And if they don't like it, it's for their own good. They can choose to stay off. They can choose to be angry with you. But you're showing them love. And that's what we need to walk in. Is showing that love of God to each other. In the body and out the body alike. Back to the whole battle thing. Having to stand strong, I knew things were coming because I could just feel it. It's hard to put into words, but my children have had nightmares pretty regularly the past few weeks since Scott left. And they come in, Tuesday morning or Monday morning, I woke up with Shay, Bodie, and Grace all in my bed. Because they all woke up crying about something in the middle of the night. And there's barely any room for Mama. And Mama's not getting sleep and becoming grouchy. And it was Monday that Bodie said, well, how come we don't have nightmares in your room? How come you don't have nightmares? I said, because the devil doesn't come in my bedroom. He doesn't bother me. He bothers you, but he doesn't bother me. You need to start rebuking this. That night, Shay wakes me up from my doorway. He's coming. I don't even think he had a bad dream. He just didn't feel well. And he was standing there in the doorway. 3:30 in the morning. Mama, snake! Yeah, there's a snake in my room. I was kind of like, Mama, snake? I crawled into my bed and I looked down. I said, yeah, that's a snake in my room. And it was a baby snake. And I kind of looked at it, and I was very sleepy. I said, really? There's a snake in my room? I can't shoot it. I'll ruin the floor. And I probably missed because it's too dang small. I mean, it's coiled up, and looking back on it now, it was kind of freaky. So I said, okay, well, I'm not getting out on that side of the bed. I went around, and I went and got the broom, and I Well, actually, I went to go find something to chop the thing's head off with, and I couldn't find anything. And when I came back, the thing was gone. I knew it had gone under the bed. I was like, no. And I went and got the broom. I said, we're getting this thing out of here, and then I'll kill it. So I'm sweeping the thing out, and I'm trying to get it over the threshold. And once I get it out of my room, I start bashing it, and that's not working. And I didn't have enough time to flip the broom over and smash it, so I just kept sweeping. Get it out. Get that thing out of my house. And I got it out, and I went to go kill it, and the thing was just gone. Okay. Praise the Lord. It's gone. Go to bed. Shay went to bed. I went to bed. I was very happy there was a cat on each side of me. They had been tired from their night of hunting. The pattern of the snake was very distinct in my mind. I woke up the next morning. I looked for it, and it was a baby rattlesnake in my bed. Or not in my bed. Praise the Lord. It wasn't in my bed. Shay woke up, and he said, I mean, it could have very easily went from being right there to right there. And praise the Lord. I find it ironic that I said the devil doesn't come into my room and the next night I have a snake in my room. Then we have colds moving their way through our house. I said, okay, I expected it. Then yesterday, which afternoon, I went in to get something out of the little boy's room and they had been told to clean their room. So I just walked in. This isn't exactly the work of the devil. It is a work of disobedience. But I fell right into their room. There was no stopping it. I fell. And I fell hard. I cut one leg. I hurt the other leg. I hurt my arm. I actually think my arm was broken in two places. And it still hurts like heck today, but I'm fine. And I laid there, and I was hurting. And Bodhi came and he prayed with me and I could feel my arm get hot and kind of go back to how it was supposed to be. I said, okay, thank you, Lord. We'll get through this. Let my children have it for being disobedient. And this morning, I knew that I was healed. This morning I woke up and my wrist hurt. And for that 1 second, I had this unbelief that, oh my gosh, what am I going to do if I'm injured? Scott's not here. It's my right hand. And then I said, it's my right hand. I had to paint that sign today. I had to paint my hand with the right hand. Uh-uh. Lord healed me. This is the Lord's work. Davey told me. This is the Lord's work. There's no way I can be hurt. And within an hour, it didn't hurt anymore. We just have to stand in Him. And in the love of Him, and in His truth, and in His light, and none of this stuff will matter. And I think on, when I think about this, all these little phrases go through my mind, gird up thy loins, and be strong and of a good courage, and Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And that, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest, is encouraging. And that's what we need to hold on to.
everybody. This is what she said, an interesting week. Not in a good way. On Sunday, you know, Davey had this really good the Spirit moves in his service, and he had this word of knowledge, and it was very uplifting, and had healing and deliverance in it, and he called out some names. On Monday, I had to post follow-up post-hospital with Dr. Allen, and he informed me that they wanted my bladder and my prostate and my left kidney. And suddenly that great word became harder to remember. And the course for me, because that was on Monday. On Tuesday, I'm talking to Davey. And I told him what my first reaction was and what I told the doctor. And he told me that he couldn't tell me that one decision was right and the other one was not. He said, make the decision you want to make and trust the Lord. It's kind of what I expected him to say. Wasn't terribly helpful. I kind of wanted, you know, a little more input than that. You know, I look back over what really is the last couple of years, and there's probably two ways of looking at it, at least two, and one is one of unbelief and one is of faith. But it does look for all the world like the Lord has been taking stuff off of me because either I wasn't doing it correctly or it's just time for somebody else to do it. And the more stuff gets taken off of me, it was like the question becomes, well, am I just done? Or, you know, is something else? So, you know, I choose not to dwell on that. I choose to trust the Lord. And Hope goes through Ephesians, you know, you see some of the things Paul says here. You are worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. And, you know, later in the chapter, he starts talking about what some of those vocations are. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Why would he say that? Well, one of the things that, in order to be a minister, is you have to adopt the attitude Paul had, which is everybody is better than I am. That's an attitude of lowliness and meekness that allows the Lord to open up opportunities for you. And you need long suffering and forbearing because people don't often choose to do the right thing the first time they hear a thing. And it can be very frustrating. I've sat there and I've watched Davey, and I've occasionally been there with other people when he was, you know, telling them stuff they ought to receive and do. And you could sit there and see from their faces they weren't going to do it. And somehow you just knew that that was going to come back on Davy as him being wrong and being accused rather than taking responsibility for not doing what he was told to do. So that takes forbearing, long-suffering, and remembering it's not about you. It's about telling people the truth and loving them in spite of the way they are and holding them to account for the truth that you've delivered to them, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And that's an interesting line, the unity of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is not, you know, disoriented and confused. The Spirit is our counsel. It's our instructor. It's our link to the Heavenly Father in real time. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One faith, one baptism. Not a whole lot of confusion there. It's very simple, very straightforward. And the counsel of the Lord is to walk worthy of the office to which you're called. Evangelists should be evangelizing people. There should be people showing up here. Pastors should be keeping them here, keeping them engaged, providing them counsel, providing them prayer. Sharing the Bible, sharing studies, study materials, and study tips and things. That's the job of the pastor. And I would not even challenge or engage the idea that the apostles and prophets in this body are doing their job. They're doing their job. I wouldn't even presume, it'd be presumptuous for me to express any sort of a corrective influence on them. They're doing their job. They're holding me to account what they do. And every one of us is a teacher in some way. Teaching somebody. While worthy of those offices to which you're called. And the passage I was looking at, is Luke 14:26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Well, I look at that. And of course, I'm sitting there going, I got this. Then I remember I kind of get hung up there, yea, his own life also. Okay, so maybe I don't have that one all that well in one sock. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The truth of the matter is, I know in my case, I still fancy my life way too much. Spend a whole lot of time ministering comfort to what amounts to be a dying flesh that Jesus didn't die for. It's not going to make it to heaven. He died for that part of me that is me. The flesh, this flesh isn't me. Praise God, it isn't me. It's an easy distraction because it's easy to get attention. This whole I want your bladder, your prostate, and your kidney thing is just more attention. And I know for a fact that the procedure is called something like RAD-X, UTC, something, I don't. And yes, it is radical. The only reason he wants my prostate is because if it stays there long enough, it's going to be a problem. I mean, that's like, I'm going to come through this room with a knife and take every female's breast. Because if it stays there long enough, it's going to be a problem. Crazy. But there is at least some experience-based interest in the kidney. I mean, close to the bladder, he could have had some kind of involvement. The tube was kind of plugged and involved by the, but whether there's any actual involvement or not, who knows? But in the context of what Davy was ministering on Sunday, this whole thing is just something that I should, like Melanie was talking about, just put off. You know, how many times do you just allow thoughts to come in that are just, they're unbelief. They're cut and dried unbelief. And if you believe what the Word says about Jesus, in Him is all of our healing and our deliverance and life and life abundantly. And all those affirmations of a faithful position in Jesus Christ. If you believe all that stuff, then when the enemy comes a-calling with something, a thought that's designed to pull you off track and get you swallowed up by unbelief, it's time to take a little journey over to 2 Corinthians 10, starting in 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This means you just don't tolerate those thoughts when they come to you. You take a stand against them, rebuke them, and cast them out. Cast them out just like demons. Take authority over them and cast them out. The spirit of infirmity, the spirit of fear, cast them out. Don't allow them any place. If you're in Jesus Christ, this stuff doesn't even apply to you. It's easy to get distracted and thrown off the pace with these things if you don't attack them immediately. And when they come to you is when you're at the most susceptible, when you're tired, when you've been asleep, when you're not with it, when you've had, you know, a long day and you've been ministering to others, and you know you're trying to get rest and you need the rest, and then this stuff comes calling, and before you know it, you're living in fear and anxiety and an anticipation of the worst what if that could ever come. And there's absolutely nowhere in Scripture where that's tolerated. And you're given the tools to dispense with it. There's absolutely no reason to allow it, to justify yourself in it, or let it stand. That's what standing in faith is about. It's what standing. Take a stand. Stand. Stand, therefore. Stand. 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 And once you've done all to stand, stand some more. Sometimes it's not fun. Sometimes you don't do it well. Or at all. The Lord's grace and His mercy is always there. And you cast yourself on Him. Remember that He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7, I think it is. He cares for you. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to learn how this is done. Not so much for you, but for other people. So that you can go minister that stuff to them. That's what Paul was doing here. He didn't do that to make himself look good. He did that to help them stand, to be successful in learning of and experiencing the healing, the deliverance, the mercy, the grace of Jesus Christ. That is God's plan for us. And God is faithful to each and every one of us who will do whatever it takes to stand and to receive the good things of the Lord. Sometimes it means standing in the midst of all the testimony to the contrary. And there's a lot of testimony to the contrary out there. And only a few single voices with the testimony of the Lord. But I choose to receive and trust in the testimony of the Lord. And if I go down, I'm going to go down standing in the goodness of the Lord. Because this is not the end for me. Regardless, the enemy does not win this one. So the counsel to me from Davey was, choose the way you want to go and trust the Lord. And I know there's going to be a lot of standing between now and then and that. I know that. But this one doesn't take me down. The Lord has already intervened on my behalf. And I choose to trust and believe Him and His Word. Well, that was longer than I expected it to be. I'm done.
Oh,
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.